This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Purena tātou, welcome in. ROFM, I think it's 97.2, your local radio station. Wairarapa TV, tune in. Today, two fruitful guests and one special guest. My first manuhiri is a whanaunga, my Papa Hawaii, ko Amber Craig. I'm about to come in and share the mahi that she does. We are not, so we'll just I'll introduce our whānau, but tuatahi, me kara ki a hau. So we'll get into that process, whānau. So I'll just whakamitu tēnei waiata for now. Me kara ki a hau. Tēnei au, te hōkai nei, takutapu ai, te hōkai nuku, te hōkai rangi, te hōkai o tō tātou tīpuna tāne nui a rangi, pikiti ai ki te rangi tūhāha, a ki te tihi o mānono, i roki nā tū rāku i o matua kore anake, i riro iho ai ngā ki te o te wānanga, a ko te kete tū iri, ko te kete tū tea, ko te kete aronui, kā tiritiri a, kā paupaua, a kā puta te ira tangata, ki te whae ao, ki te ao mārama, a tihei, maiori ora. Tuatahi, my first guest, cousin Amber, and then I've got a special guest sitting next to you, a young man called Hemi Katsu. Hi. But firstly, whānau, kia ora, cuz, welcome in.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe, it's an honour. I feel privileged to have you here in this space, because I know the mahi you do in our hapuri, cuz. But tōku pātoi, tuatahi, ko wai koe, cuz.
Ko wai. Kia ora, my name is Amber Craig. I am an uri of Wairarapa, but also the Hora Whenua. So I descend from Mo Upoko, Rangitane o Wairarapa, Kahananui ki Wairarapa, and I descend from some fruitful tupuna, Tāwhiri Mātia Ngātawiri.
Kia ora.
Mōkai Mātiaha, Purākau Maika, and a few others. So I'm a Hemi Mātiaha Ngātawiri. But also from the Purākau whānau. But I'm also a Taueki from the other side of the Tararua Ranges. So that is my whānau.
And sure, where cousin.
Yep.
Whānau, you're like three different types of cousins in there.
Yep.
Yeah, cuz. Yeah, it is. It's an honour to have you today. Cuz I've noticed a lot of the mahi you do within our hāpuri. And one thing that stood out for me was me and him watched last week. There was something on YouTube and you were making whareas out of jigsaw puzzles type objects. And Kaina Te Taki, that I've asked you to come in to share that, because I feel it's a time we are, I guess, I think I've seen them priced at like 60,000. I think it's a time for our whānau to look into these other options, not so much the conventional way that the system tells us to live.
Yeah.
And that's what I see with you, cousin. So, what are those whānaus, cousin?
Well, maybe I'll talk about the whakapapa. Where
they come from?
So, it sort of started out of the COVID lockdowns when a lot of people were stuck in their homes 24/7.
Oh.
It then became more apparent that our whānau are living in cold, damp homes. And so, our people that have respiratory issues, you can't really sustain living in that whare for prolonged periods. And so, it was actually Auntie Teresa Aporo who basically set a taki down for me and said, you need to fix this. And it was like, Auntie, that's no small thing. And like, I don't even know how to build homes. And she goes, I just know you'll work it out. And then just set me on my way. And so when we came out of lockdowns, I ended up sleeping on my parents' couch and coming into a place up in Masterton to just try and build something at 1/6 scale. So what we did was we printed out, there's this thing called WikiHouse over in the UK, and it's like an open source plans of housing. So you can just download it off the internet and print a whare.
WikiHouse?
Yeah.
Kia ora.
And so what we've been trying to do, so out of this we've built this kaupapa called Te Whare Hangahanga, which was a kupu or ingoa given to us by some of our kaumātua. And Te Whare Hangahanga, if you know, is in Nau Mai e Tama, is the whare tangata, it's the place, Kurawaka. And so we really thought that to help heal our people, we need to house our people. And for those that are on the ground, we don't have a lot of whānau back. I want them all back so that we don't have to keep doing all this mahi.
Ai, hoki mai whānau.
And wear ourselves out. So we need our whānau to come home. But where do we put them? Because I don't know about you, but my whānau kind of fall Greytown. They kind of fall Carlton with the prices that they are.
We can't even afford Masterton.
Yeah, or Featherston. And there's my dad, because my dad and my mum used to live in Masterton before we moved away. My dad goes, Featherston was where no one wanted to go, you know. And now it's got these high prices that no one can afford. And so from there we kind of thought, well, actually, let's go back to our story. So then we went back into some of the stories. We had papakāinga throughout this motu, you know, Mā Taki Taki a Kupe, we had a papakāinga out there. We housed all these people, we fed all these people. And the more we looked into it, in Te Ao Māori, no one was left behind. No one was homeless. You know, we were off doing, we were transient. We used to go between homes. But everyone had a whare. And so we kind of wanted to start with some of that. And very lucky to get to hang out a little bit with John Teto. And he was one of the people who rebuilt the wharepuni that's in Te Papa on level 4.
John Teto's uncle, John?
Yeah, so he was, there was a whole crew from Hiniwaka. Right. They basically rebuilt the wharepuni that was out at Whangai Moana, and it now sits at Te Papa. And it was all made out of ropal. And ropal, when you dry it and bind it together, is actually a noise dampener, so it's... It stops noise from going between places, but it's also insulation. So when we started to look into a lot of how we used to build homes and what we used to do, a lot of this naturally came out. And so there's things which we want to try. You know, we've got councils that are telling us our way of doing things isn't the right way, that we need to build colonial homes. But the problem with these houses is they're killing us because they can't even, they're cold, they're damp, they don't let any air in.
Beautiful, cuz.
And so, yeah, that's pretty much where Te Whare Hangahanga sort of come out of. So we managed to crowdfund, which we'll talk a little bit more about hopefully a bit soon.
Yes.
But we crowdfunded a whole bunch of money to buy a giant CNC machine. So it's a computer-controlled machine, and we can put plywood sheets on, and the computer we design and tell it what to cut out. So it's like building a giant jigsaw puzzle.
Is that like a 3D print?
3D printer kind of builds up from materials. This is what they call a CNC machine. So it drill, it's got a giant drill bit, and the computer tells it where to drill out the plywood. Yeah, and so then we can put stuff together and build it up. But the cool thing as well that we're trying to aim for is our dumps, 60% of waste in our tips is actually construction waste. So when they talk about intensifying house building, part of our kaupapa is we want zero waste when we're building homes. We don't want to be building with arsenic and other chemicals that are in these woods. We had traditional ways of being able to preserve wood for long periods. But also when we say we want to build all these homes, are we going to contribute that waste into the dump and then destroy Papatūānuku? So we're not talking about intensifying housing. To me, I just see the impact on our taiao massively. And also, like, when you're building a home, do you want to flush the toilet and contribute that waste into our awa? Or do we want to look at other ways of doing things? Because we know our council infrastructure is not up to scratch for a lot of it, and that a lot of it is going into our awa. Featherston wastewater, a lot of that stuff is not being treated well down there and goes straight into Wairarapa Moana.
Funny you're talking about the treated water. Recently, so I watched the council, they put in, just by the way, Clumbo Road, the Waipawa River, I watched them put in this big-ass tank, and then when I asked him, there's a friend of mine, I asked him what they were doing with it. So all the teko and tūtai from Lansdowne all gets run down into the hood, and it's all stored there until it goes out towards the Whitiways to the sewage plant.
I find it ironic that waste treatment plants happen to be in Māori communities and our places, you know.
It's the first thing I came up with. Why is all the tickle from Lansdowne coming down and have to sit over in the hood by all our whānau? So thank you, cuz, for sharing that with us. One more part is, cuz just around the whareas, what can whānau do to help or support this kaupapa? Because I feel this will be fruitful for our whānau. It'll help. I'm guessing what are the price ranges if we were to embrace these type of fuddies?
Yeah, so we're still working out a lot because plywood costs a lot, but we're trying to work through like piri te tau and stuff like that. The fact that all the wood that a lot of these companies use are from our whenua, you know, and so actually is there negotiations that can happen where we say, well, actually, if you're going to make this plywood, you put some aside for our whanau.
Kia ora.
And so they're at a reduced price because at the moment it's around 120 to 150 per sheet of plywood.
Aye.
And if we could get that down to, say, like even $50 a sheet, that drastically over half the price to build a whare. Then there's things of, you know, well, we're utilising the whole plywood rather than just half of it and chuck the rest out or, you know, all that waste.
Aye.
And so actually there's a product where we can, so we're teaming up with a place called X-Frame.
Aye.
And his whole thesis that he did at Vic Uni was to have 0% waste. So you can put a whare up and then basically pull it down and then rebuild it again with the same tools. And so we're working heavily with him. Guy called Jed who did that, and then we've been working with Vic Uni, and so they're coming up with concepts, and we want to allow whānau to be able to construct the houses rather than having all these builders who need to be trained for many years. Maybe we just have one of them on site just to oversee, make sure we're doing health and safety, making sure we're not going to hurt ourselves, but that our whānau are constructing it. So there's this whole, how do we return autonomy back to our whānau, our way of doing things?
Because the government or the system won't like you. It sounds like you'll be taking money away from the. Or just listening to your kōrero, so there must be policies and procedures that we have to follow. In this kind of mahi, I'm guessing, would eradicate the way.
Essentially, yeah. So part of what we're doing, we're very lucky at Vic Uni, the student, her. I don't know because I never went to uni. I think it's like.
Didn't
him,
you?
No.
I thought you went to uni. Oh, I just assumed
heck
that.
No. It confuses the heck out of me, uni. So her manager, I think it's like her person who looks after her at the Vic Uni, is very about let's do communal builds, let's do community builds because it's our people that are the best ones to determine what we're going to do, and let's take the power away from these giant cities like Auckland, Wellington and all that who seem to hold a lot of this power. So there's also some council changes that are being proposed at the moment, like the multi-purpose zone, which I don't believe has been very well communicated, but that removes a lot of rules.
Multi-purpose zone?
Yeah. So you know how land, it gets put into either rural zone or urban zone, and you're only allowed to build one whare and then have a second dwelling and stuff like that. The multi-purpose zone would mean that, like, land we could put into that, and that would enable us to be able to build papakāinga. And so it takes a lot of the rules away that the councils would normally have in the rural and urban zone.
Right.
And so those are going through proposed changes at the moment. So I think roughly about mid-next year is when that will come into place.
Cool. Because just before we move on to the next part, I just want to talk about on the weekend, how was your wānanga?
Oh, the seed one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't there.
That's
I wanted to be there, though.
We had a seed one, I know, just for others. Yeah. Which was about how do we grow and preserve seeds. Yeah. And how do we preserve the whakapapa of our rākau. And what is tūturu rākau. And then what comes from other regions. And is whakapapa joining. And yeah.
Cousin, just before we go, I just wanted to say there must be a way for all of us to, in the hāpuri, to embrace your mahi and work together. I'm not sure why there wasn't tautoko for you, because I think we can see this having more of an impact on other things that we tautoko. Hoi anō, just be with us, cousin. I'll get this out there because this is an important kaupapa. I mean, you're getting that out there yourself, but man, there needs to be noise around this because I feel, and when I feel, our iwi need to tautoko your kaupapa. You know, I feel it's helpful to our people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of our cousins that are all the same, wouldn't even know how to purchase a house, wouldn't even be a part of their life goals.
Yeah.
Some of
our whānau, it's an impossible. They would never be able to afford our homes.
Aye.
So on Saturday, we actually have a wānanga on at Te Oriori.
Aye.
And so we're getting the Vic Uni student over to come and present some of her mahi of initial conversations we've had. But part of it as well is for whānau to share their aspirations and their sort of dreams to make sure that, you know. And so her template that she's building up, and she'll have to build an actual home at the end of this year that she'll do on the Waiohine Gorge, but that will be a template that whānau could look to utilise. Now, it's only one bedroom, but it's a start, and then we do a two-bedroom. And then we do a three-bedroom, and then we start to build out a catalogue of stuff. And so whānau can go, I want one of those, one of those, one of those, and we'll be able to go, we know the price automatically, we know how to print it out, and here's what, how much it would be.
Well, if you ever need a bit of land on the coast to the, for your two-bedroom, let us know, cuz.
Yep.
But anei tōku pātoe, here's something else I've seen of yours during my research. I've seen on YouTube, we watched... you created a give a little page to buy back land?
Yep.
That was on. there was not even silly. I don't even know why we don't get behind and embrace that.
Yep.
When I seen it, I was like, why don't I think of that? You beat me to it. But because it's on. It's super on.
So that came out of, I guess, just dreaming. So I had a Uncle John Ngātuere who came down and we ended up going, I just saw this piece of land and I said, well, maybe we should go check it out. And so we just went and checked it out. And it was about 100 hectares up the Waiohene Gorge. And our tūpuna was born into the awa in Tāwhiri Mātia. And so we thought, what the heck, you know. And we kind of had a little bit of a look at our finances. There was no way I could afford it. And so Joel had a look at some of his and we said, well, we'll probably have about 500K if we kind of pull together. And then Safari jumped on board as well, and we had a bit of a discussion. And I just said to the cuz, what if we try crowdfunding? Because I've crowdfunded before, you know, and I have a bit of a following on Twitter. I had about 6,000 people at that stage. This is before Elon Musk bought it and destroyed it. And Safari and I kind of said, well, if we did this, we'd need to tell a good story, you know, because it's all about storytelling and we're the ultimate storytellers. So we kind of came together and said, well, you know, here's what could happen. Here's, you know, Papa Kāinga. We could be doing plantings from this. We could be doing manuka honey. Here's all these things that we potentially could be doing if we could actually own this whenua and bring our whānau back home.
He killed her.
So we thought, what the heck, and I remember it at the time, Joel Ngātuere said, nah, why would anyone give any money to us? And I said, well, look, best case, they might give us a grand, worst case, they might give us $10, and then we're still the same as we were at now, which is nothing.
Aye.
So Safari put it out. He has quite a following on Instagram as well, so he put it out. I put it out on Twitter, and I think within 48 hours we'd raised $300,000. So...
In 48 hours, you read $300,000.
Yeah. So
Can I get a give a little page?
And so a lot of it was around, a lot of the people on Twitter had seen my journey of coming home from completely colonised, living, you know, working in a bank in Wellington to coming home and living on my whenua.
Oh, cousin, I used to work at a bank, eh, son?
Yes. And so... You know, they'd followed that journey, they'd seen what had happened, they'd gone through my growth over multiple years, and so it was kind of this thing where a lot of them were pushing for whānau. And we had stories of, like, kids giving their pocket money. Someone was like, you can have my bus money for the week and I'll walk instead. You know, just this type of stuff. And there was someone who put, actually, that their tūpuna had gained land in Greytown, and so it was only right of them to give back. You know, we had one person gave us $40,000 just by himself. Like, I don't know who has $40,000 just lying around, but the fact that he thought to give that to us was amazing. And so
might have been Uncle Perry.
And so at the time we didn't get that whenua, but what we said we'd do is Joel, Safari and myself, we put it together into a trust, but we locked it up to say that only that money could be spent for whenua. It can't be spent for admin or trustee fees or some. We just wanted to make sure it was only people who had given it in that kaupapa and it will only be spent on that kaupapa.
You killed it.
So about a year later, we actually found a place down Waiohene Gorge.
Right.
And so it's on the Greytown side, and it's 20 hectares, but most of it's native bush. And so we were able to purchase it with a bit of help. So half of it's kind of owned by that fund. So Te Tini o Ngāti Kahu Kura Āwhitia, and we had collected it on the basis it was Kahu Kura Āwhitia Hapu. And then the other half is owned by one of the whanaona, and so... I'm the first one on that land to help prepare it and get it ready for Papa Kāinga and hopefully to build out some houses so that we can get other whānau down there.
Mm.
But it's on the basis that we come collectively we'll have a bit of a like a what do you call it, like a covenant type thing. So just to say, if you're on this whenua, here's the kaupapa, here's what we're trying to do. If you're not on it, ka pai, but if you are, sign up, you know, that type of thing. Cool, so
Cuz, thank you for that. Te tahi atu pātoi, another pātoi. So we spoke about crowdfunding,
A little bit.
Do you want to talk a bit more into that?
So crowdfunding, because not everyone gets it, and for Te Whare Hangahanga, actually we're going up to Auckland next week to crowdfund for equity in our company, but it's essentially people, everyday New Zealanders who might have, say, $10 or $100, they can look to koha, to a cause. And so when we use platforms like Give A Little, so that's more a charity-based one, or Pledge Me, it's just putting out a bit of a story about what you're trying to do, and if people absolutely feel like they want to sign up and contribute, that they can.
Mm.
And so I guess the cool thing about crowdfunding for me is it's power of the people. So when you, a few of my kaupapa, when you annoy the things of like councils and government who probably don't want to contribute their funds or grants into kaupapa such as these, that it allows us to go back out to our communities and our people, wider sort of people who have supported us. And so you go, well, if I had 6,000 followers on Twitter and each one of them only donated like the cost of a coffee, how much would that be?
Mm.
That's actually a lot when you start to collaborate and bring people together. Oh. That $10 each could actually be, you know, $60,000.
Ka poi. Hey, cuz we've got two more questions, but probably just in one. I want to learn myself the importance of us doing, and why should we do submissions to the Crown, and how do we do them? What the importance in,
Oh, okay, yep. So there's a whole, so just switching hats now.
Sorry, Kelly.
Oh, good. So submissions in themselves are like a real hoha pākehā process thing. So the government and regional councils and local councils, all when they change policies, which is like the highest level of what they have to do, they have to go through a submission process. And part of that is they have to go out to the public and go, is this, we're about to make these changes, do you agree with it, do you not agree with it? That's actually how they get a lot of their sneaky stuff through. So at the moment what's happening is they're trying to remove, like the government's trying to do this fast track approvals bill.
What, can you speak into that a little bit, Kaz?
Yeah, so essentially what that is to say, you know, the Resource Management Act, you know how we have to come and ask the community and mana whenua if there's any issues?
Right.
They're going to bypass all of that, and then there's three ministers who ultimately get to make the decision on whether a project should go ahead, regardless of the detrimental impact it might have probably on our taiao. Yeah, so they'll have a committee of experts, of which one mana whenua rep can be presented, which automatically excludes both of our iwi or any hapu, or, you know, we all have to amalgamate into one voice and be the token Māori at the table. But then these three ministers can choose to ignore that committee anyway. So if that committee of experts say, you shouldn't do this because it's going to destroy this awa, those three committee members, who none of them are taiao or environment or conservation, they are transport, they are infrastructure, they're all the people for the money type of thing. So when they propose that change, people get to submit on it. So we submitted as Rangitane or Wairarapa, but I also was very aware that whānau and hapū, they might want to submit too. So we put up templates if whānau wanted to do that as well. Because again, it's down to people power. So if it's perceived that there's a lot of submissions against it, then sometimes those ministers can be swayed to not do it, because then it looks like the public don't agree with it. When you do a written submission, you can actually choose to do an oral submission. So we as Rangitane o Wairarapa have chosen to always do an oral submission because, you know, when we did our fast track approvals bill, you have only 10 minutes, but we wanted them to never forget who the Wairarapa is. We wanted to make sure that the years of mamai from my aunties and uncles that I've listened to gets captured in a 10-minute, you know, well, 6 minutes, and then they get to ask questions, you know. And so what we've done is when laws and stuff have been created or proposed that we don't agree with and we think will remove tino rangatiratanga from our whānau hapū and our iwi, that we go in and we fight for that, because not all of our whānau understands legislations and policies. nor should they have to. So when we do, we kind of take it as the obligation for us. That's our role as kaitiaki, to help support our whānau on the ground getting shiz done, you know. So that's sort of why we've been going in and doing oral submissions. And anyone can just submit on them. It's just knowing the time frame. So they'll say this is open until this certain date. You have to get a written submission in. You can do an oral submission, you just tick the box. And it can be as little as just one paragraph saying, right, no, I don't agree with this, it removes our tino ranga teratanga. To you can do a full essay if you want.
Is this, so would it be fair to say this, because I see everybody jumping up and down and around the country around on the Māori Party, he whakapūtanga, complaining about our hardship and whatnot, which is warranted. But the only way to keep them honest is through submissions, because doing like that in the crowd and protesting and whatnot really doesn't have any impact, does it?
It does. So I guess we need people on all fronts, guess, is the thing. And submissions are one way, but they are publicly seen as well. So if I put my hand on my heart and say to my mokopuna in the future, I did everything that I could, you know, we marched in the streets, but then we went and did submissions and made it count where we could. And even if they turn around and say, no, we're going to ignore everything that you said, I can at least hand on my heart, say, I tried their process and they still ignored us. Now we go to the streets. Now we handcuff ourselves to tractors in front of, not that I'm suggesting anything, but, you know, hoi anō.
Because we're about to wrap up, but how do I hang out with you?
Oh, well.
Because you're on. I'm impressed from the kōrero that we had. I learned today, whānau, you ware ware ahau, I'm talking about tikanga and kawa earlier, prior to here, you ware ware ahau, ki te mihi atu ki tō tātou whānau pani e rua, te whānau fox, me te whānau waipuka e takoto ana I te oreore, ka hoki mai tō tātou whānau ki Rangi Māori I te rānei. Aroha mai, I was just thinking of that as a kōrero. Yeah. So whakatika ahau tērā. Kaz, thank you for coming in. Do you have any last words you'd like to talk into? You can talk into anything, Kaz. You've got 5 minutes.
So we're at Te Oriori on Saturday. If you want to come along and talk about papakāinga and housing and sort of, it's not just
So that whare, the noho is this weekend?
Yeah, on Saturday.
It is, whānau. So any whānau out there in the Hāpuri that are looking for better options of securing their own whare, this may be an option. I feel it would be worth going to have a look at. If I was available, I'd be there. I've got to go watch someone, the mata ora. Hoi anō, get out there and get amongst it. Or take our kaumātua, even take our tamariki. I teach my son young. I teach him everything. I show him things young. So by the time he's 10, he should be well developed. Hoi anō, kia koe, kaz.
Yep, so Te Oriori at 9:30 is Pōhiri, and then 10 we'll hope to kick off into it. There's Kai as well, so just as a...
spewing. That's the best incentive.
I mean, just coming along and having a kōrero, and if you don't agree with stuff, come along and say that too, because we're not going to know unless people voice their information. You know, a lot of our South Wairarapa whānau have been part of shaping up, been listening to their kōrero, so... it's an opportunity to ensure that, you know, we continue to go on the way of our whānau and hapu, because everything we're doing is for them. And then just keep an eye out, because we'll also be launching a crowdfunding campaign for equity into whare hangahanga. So what that means is we're going to go out and ask people, so from as little as like $100, you could own a part of te whare hangahanga. And so all that money will come up, and that will allow us to expand out the organisation a bit better, so that we can actually permanently start looking at it, and instead of being Amber's little side hobby project, it can actually be established properly as an organisation and start to do a bit more. And so we've even done submissions for legal stuff about the renters stuff that's coming up, the Tenants Act that was currently a thing where they want to basically, what was it? No cause evictions. They just want to kick people out. And
that's
matter.
How it is now, eh?
So we submitted on that too, to say that we didn't agree with that. And
I want to do a submission on he whakapūtanga, our constitution. Yeah. I believe the Constitution Act that's in that they applied for our country has no legality outside the Act. And I always revert back to he whakapūtanga 1835, Well, I feel it's our true constitution of this whenua, but it's been blanketed by all the harau and the deviousness of the colonisers. Is it fair for me to say that?
I think I look at the likes of like Moana Jackson, Tina Nata, Safari Hines, and some of, you know, Reihania Te Puke that are like kind of been working on this mahi a lot longer than me. And they talk heaps about constitutional reform. And I think that really is where, rather than having it written into legislation and it can be taken out depending on what left, right, and whoever party, that actually it's part of the whakapapa. You can never take that out. And he whakaputanga is to also be taken in account with te tiriti or waitangi. Aye. You can't read one without the other, and you can't read one without the other. They're joined together at the hip.
Right.
Yeah,
it's hard for us to get that message across to people that don't understand that, eh?
Yeah, I think part of it as well is a healing journey. So there's, you know, I remember my journey back home and, you know, finding out about mana kino and being like, why did no one tell me?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then going through and going, hey, whakaputanga, I didn't know that, you know, and then that's taken into account with te tiriti or waitangi. It's like that's an addendum or an addition to the beginning document.
Touching on that, I was sort of surprised. So I was there last week just observing, and I say this respectfully, but I would have liked for Piripi Te Māori to be acknowledged, because I know that whole whakapapa of the Moana. My nanny was a part of it, all our nannies were, but I acknowledge you, Piripi. Hine waka. Ko tērā te moko o tūmapu he ārangi. So we're all whānei, we're all whakapapa to each other, we're all one. Before we go, because I just want to share this, and I just want to tell everyone, ko tahitanga, we're all one. We're all got a job to do, we all have a mahi, we all have a we all have a role to play in healing, in connecting back with our Pākehā whānau, and walking this aratika. This is only my kōrero, but I just feel ko tahitanga needs to be ko tahitanga. All our iwis, all our whānau, just aroha atu, aroha mai. Kaz, thank you so much for coming in today. I'm so grateful to have you in here. I'm going to say it right here. Please come back, because it was very fruitful, cuz.
Yep.
When you're ready to, I'll be happy to have you back. Any last words? I'm going to sign off, cousin.
My only thing about kotahitanga is for us to come together as kotahitanga, we have to have a strong identity in who we are in ourselves, our whānau and our hapū, before we come to kotahitanga, so that we don't colonise each other in that kotahitanga space and expect us all to think as one and be one, because it's about how do we get to our shared outcomes and goals together.
Ngā mihi.
Hoi anō.
Thank you for coming in, cousin.
Thank you for having me.
Ngā mihi. Thank you, cuz. Ngā mihi.
Life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello again, shaboom, and open we'll meet again. Oh, life could be a dream if you would let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Every time I look at you,
something is on my mind.
If you do what I want you to do,
baby, we'd be so fine. Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you back to paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love.
Life could be a dream.
Kilda, my next kiss.
Every time I look at you, something is on my mind.
Hey, hey!
Kia ora whānei,
welcome in. Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you back to paradise of above. You would tell me I'm the only one that you love.
Welcome in, my son. No, my haere mai. Finally, my last guest for the day is a special person. Oh, it's the person that, I'd say you'd be responsible for your father turning his life around. Hoi anō. Nei mai, welcome in. Hello, my baby. Ko wai kui.
Ko himi tuko ingoa.
Kia ora, Hemi. Thank you for coming in, my son. I've got a couple of questions, but we'll just take our time. I want to come on here and share with everybody about the poor hara mindset that Dad used to be in. And some of those pōhara teachings that I once taught you, I wouldn't mind talking into those today. But
they were very pōhara.
They were very pōhara. They were my baby. But there's one thing that, you know, we'll talk into how Dad had you in the gang, but one thing that came up for me I got a story from a year ago where you did a video, my baby, around how parents should be speaking to their children. And I needed to see that this week, because it was a couple of times this week. Be free to say Dad raised... Where Dad raised his voice because of external things going on. But how should parents speak to their children, my baby?
Well, they should just speak like, if they're being, for example, if they're being naughty, the parents should only get if they ask once, not another 3 times or another 10 times or whatever that is. But you should only have to speak once.
But there's a certain way sometimes that our parents talk to you.
And if we're not listening, then you might have to swear at us.
Might have to swear. So that's why we're on here, because that has become part of your default, hearing your father swear. But that isn't actually the right way. There's actually a certain way you should speak to children. And if you speak to them in a wrong way, you can hurt their feelings. Would that be fair to say?
Yes.
Because children have feelings too, eh? Kia ora. So, here's another part I want to ask you. And this is probably the poorest decision Dad ever made. But how old was you when Dad gave you a patch?
I was 2.
2 years of age. What was Dad thinking, eh?
Yes.
Poor heart of mindset, eh? You know, I look back at that and I think, I could have been leading you down a huarahi of where Dad was heading. And then, how old was you when I took it off you?
About five and a half.
5.5 years of age. I had my son patched up for like 4 years. And I used to glorify it and think it was the bee's knees. And today I have so much regrets of doing that.
I remember when you told me and you took it off me. I remember.
Yeah.
I even remember where it was at.
Yeah. That's Dad's...
Henry Lake.
Yeah. Yeah, I just had to go explain to you that Dad had made the poor decision of... giving you a patch, you know, that's not fair. That would have been Dad creating a lot of trauma in your future life. But all good, we got on top of that today. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
We're on top of it? Okay, let's talk about something else. How is life now that it's just we're living a straight life? How's life for you now that we're not in the game?
Well, it's better than how it was about 2 years ago, because 2 years ago, it's much better than 2 years ago, because I would hardly even see you. You were either off somewhere or in jail.
Yeah, and that used to be, it was poor, eh?
Yeah.
Having to ring up and, this is a phone call from an inmate. Pretty... Please press 0. How many zeros have you pushed?
I out of all the zeros.
Too many zeros.
42 times, but I don't know how many zeros we would have pushed.
But hey, we don't do those phone calls anymore, do we?
No.
We just straight direct phone calls, eh?
Yes.
How's it been watching Dad's changes in the last year? How's it been for you?
It's actually been good for the last year, because you came back, but Wait, no, since the last year, you started a scaffolding job, you came back, you got this job, and work at Firewater. Kia ora. And have your own house now.
It's a big... thank you, my son, for...
In 1 year, that's a lot of money.
Kia ora, my baby. We're going to take a break, my mate, and I'm going to play you a song.
Okay.
Over and over, I tried to prove my love to you. Over and over, now what more can I do? Over and over, my friends say I'm a fool. But over and over, I'll be a fool for you. 'Cause you've got
personality.
Whānau, welcome back in the whare. Today, we have this young champion here, Hemi Katsu. Kia ora, my son.
Kia ora.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Another kōrero I'd like to talk about is the importance of homework, of being a present father. Okay? Is that all good?
Yes.
So... are you always on top of your homework?
Yes, I am. Daily? Every day.
Daily?
Well, maybe not daily, but I'm always, like, we in class we always do prizes, so we get an ice block, a lollipop,
or we go. Get hot chips. We've got incentives here.
Or a voucher.
Okay.
Yes.
Is education important for children today?
Yes.
What's the most fun part do you like of school?
Well, school is to learn. I like learning, but also school is one place. Some could say school's meant to be make friends. School's to play. School's to learn.
Kia ora.
But I think it's all of those things.
You're on to it. It's just one thing. Yeah. Ko teitanga. That's what it is. Go there to do all those things and probably more.
Yeah.
There's a question I want
to... And you can do some activities.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah.
And you got a good bunch of mates there as well.
Yes.
I've got another question. When are you coming to play for Pioneer?
I'm going to play next year.
Next year?
Next year.
Have you convinced your mum and your nanny?
Because I
tried to.
Well, we both tried to.
And they wouldn't have a bar of it.
Yes, they wouldn't.
Mm. Well, we're gonna sign off shortly because we've got to go to the tangi.
Yes.
And help in the kota. I just wanted to say I love doing life with you today. And I apologise too. I apologise to you for ever giving you a patch. I don't know what I was thinking. It was just a poor heart of mindset, baby. Yeah, walking life with you today, I feel like it's just, it's, for now, it's just you and I. And I'll just keep building for us. You know, whatever our future looks like, you know,
mm-hmm.
it'll always be me and you. Okay?
Yep.
Always know that. Yeah, I just love you. You were the reason. I remember when you first came along and I went to prison, you were the first person in my whole life. I think when I went to prison, when I cared for somebody, because I never used to care about anyone, because of the own things that went on in the background, I was just, yeah. And you came along, and it was the first time I cared. And then as time's gone, I mean, that was 2015.
Where did I meet you?
I'm sad to say, it was Dad just got released. Was in addiction straight away and came and seen you, my boy.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, the positive of that is, you know, I had to wait till 5 years and then figure out this wasn't the pathway that I wanted for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm giving you a patch at the age of 2. Today I kick myself. But I also live by the mantra, I don't have regrets.
Yep.
I take you with me up to places, and I hear people say, oh, he shouldn't be on the pie, he shouldn't be here. My son walks everywhere with me. Don't ever bring that up to me again, whānau. If I'm on the pie, my babies. Because that's what I did when I was a kid. I was always at nanny's knees, listening to these old ladies, bloody, you kōrero there, kōrero. But that's what I want for my son. If he grows up and not want to walk in this huarahi of Kei Te Pai, I will not force that on him. But what I will give him is the best tools and understanding of our tūpuna, of our kaumātua and of our tikanga and kawas, and then leave the decision up to him. I love you, Hemikati. Yeah, forever us. Yeah, it's been a good interview with you today. It's been good. You're heading off home today. We'll wrap this up, and we'll head out to the marae. Is that us?
Uh-huh.
Do you have any last words you'd like to say to the whānau?
Before, I think that this was the first time I met you, but do you remember when I always used to call you because for 2 years,
yes.
The phone?
Yes.
My phone.
So my son, when I was in prison, he didn't know what Dad was. He didn't know my name. So when I come out of prison, the first thing when he seen me and said, when I look back, he goes, oh, phone. So he just called me phone, you know, and that's a reflection. My son's 8. And I look at my 8-year-old Shannon, and I think, man, I'll protect him. I'll try to protect them as much as I can. My children don't get hit. Yeah, I'll raise my voice on that. I'll get better at all that. But no way does he go through emotions and feelings that I ever had to, or his mother. I'm grateful that he is a beautiful mother that, if I'm being honest, she's the key to our children and their behaviours. And like I hear people say, they're very respectful. That's their doing. But man, wouldn't that be a bit good enough reason to change your life and not want to go back to prison? Or, you know, you go back in there and you leave your priority and responsibility behind for most of the time for the mum, who also does a lag with us in there. You know, those phone cards for me, $70 a week, you know, that all adds up. By the end of the year, that's $3,500 or $3,600. And that's every week shopping. So think about our children, think about our whānau before you go and commit your next crime, before you go and have your next puff or whatever. Just think about the repercussions that it has on not yourself, but on our children and on our whānau. Think about all those things, whānau. Yeah, this fella here was enough for me to turn my life around. It was a hard process. It was a process that was uncomfortable. It was a process that was lonely. But I've lived lonely all my life. I love living like this. As when I say lonely, in my mind I'm alone. If that makes sense. Yeah. So now I'm comfortable in my own bloody company. But I'm going to sign off from you, whānau. My baby, I love you with all my heart. What's that, my mate?
Ka kite, whānau.
Ka kite, whānau.
Ka kite.
Hara mai. Come here.
See you next time.
All right, then, that's us, whānau. We're going to bounce.